This is RSBNB Update, episode 524, recorded Friday, July 3rd, 2015. Not a hero's welcome, but a Dragonkin party foul.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Sitting in with Earth and myself this week is a fellow by the name of Drazu, who is, believe it or not, the founder of Gladden Quest. We had Sirion on last week, so we thought we'd take it up one level this week and have you on.
Oh, he's the same level. Don't say that.
Well, you obviously started the thing, so...
Whoa, hold on. Are you not, like... talking about how great you are here?
I mean, I'm awesome and everyone knows it. There's no need for me to just broadcast that on a podcast.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do
here.
Well,
I mean, if you say so.
Oh, okay.
No, don't give him ideas.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
It's a bad idea.
So, Quest Week. We love these weeks, don't we?
Woo!
New quest point total is 371, so you got 2 quest points from this last quest, rightly named Heroes Welcome. Now, I'm going to put this out there because, I mean, this quest does have some interesting things happening, and for those of you guys who haven't listened to Update before, in Quest we do go through the entire quest, so spoiler warning ahead.
So, yay, spoilers.
Hooray. So with that being said, take us away. Actually, no, let me tell you about the requirements first. Sorry, got ahead of myself.
Come on, Shane.
Lunar Diplomacy, Taibo Wani Trio, 60 Divination, 60 Mining, 67 Mining, sorry, 67 Smithing, 62 Slayer, all the Otto's Barbarian training complete, and at least 100 combat is recommended. We had a bit of a scare about that this afternoon, didn't we, Earth?
Not really.
Oh, about the barbarian training?
No.
Oh, okay.
I thought it'd be fine.
Okay.
You just need to calm your tits, man.
What did we really need 100 for? That's a...
Well, the boss fight at the end. I mean,
wait, okay. What were the requirements? Like,
it
it
needed a combat level of 100. It's recommended. That's weak recommendation. I don't even think you need that.
Yeah, you could have done it without any combat at all, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's... Amen. Exactly.
So, anyways...
Well, technically you got that adamant dragon.
Yeah, but we'll get
but
there.
But even that's... Yeah.
All right, take us away, Earth. Give us a bit of a rundown how this whole thing starts and how it surprises.
All right, so... you go to Relica... and you find someone from the Moon Clan and someone from the Fremenic people just yelling at each other on the docks. And you're like, "What? Why are you arguing this time?" You know, they're always arguing. And they tell you that V is going to return. And then they're like, "How do we prepare for it?" So they have you go. Because apparently they don't know what they're talking about. You have to run around Relica and figure out the stories from everyone.
Yeah. I love how you went to basically every person in that whole area that has a title behind their name.
Exactly.
Yeah, practically anyone who's important.
Yep.
And so, 7 of them, right?
Yeah.
All right.
And then you do all of that, and then,
Can I just... Quick interruption. Did I miss any mention about V beforehand in the game anywhere?
Yes.
Or...
Oh, okay.
So he is...
When was he mentioned?
Yeah, because I don't remember him...
Quite a bit in the Moon Clan stuff. He'll give me a second. I can
just
get
an NPC chat, right? He's not actually mentioned in any prior quest or anything like that.
Yes. Yes.
This was a number of years ago.
In the Moon Clan manual, appears in a flashback during While Guthix Sleeps, is briefly mentioned by Sliske after Fate of the Gods.
Okay, so While Guthix Sleeps, you can stop there. So I'm just an idiot. That's cool.
Well, yeah, of course.
And plus, remember, this was a good number of years ago, and, well,
sure.
you and I have been around a long time, so...
I was just like, who is this? I don't even remember who he... Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. That's a good question, because not everyone is knows everything, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a burden I have to carry, but that's all right. Yes.
A planet world burden, man.
So then he comes back, and then... Like, he tries to do something nice, like, give people a bunch of food, like...
Yeah, the banquet.
That part was weird to me.
Yeah, it was, like, graphically, it was a little bit, what were they trying to do?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, he, teleported in or something, and he looked really, I'm awesome, and then... Like, he tried to make some meat or something, or some animals that they could cook, and then it was, like...
Deformed.
Yeah,
it was like...
blobs of inside-out meat or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even know what it was.
It was anatomically inverted.
I think that's what it was, but it... Yeah. Either way, he didn't end up giving
them... Is that like an actual quote?
No.
No, you just did
that's
that.
That's just what it is.
Well, he was trying to give them, what, yaks or something like that?
But you got, like, these things that...
Blobs of meat. It reminded me of the jellies, like, in the Slayer dungeon.
Exactly.
And then he was like, this ain't right. And then he left. And he told the Fremenet guy that was arguing with the Moon Clan lady at the beginning. Oh, I should probably give these people names. The Moon Clan person is Freya Lune, and then, the Fremenet guy is Alfric the Planner. So V says something to Alfric and is just like, hey, you remember, I think he said it was a trading post or something?
Yeah,
you remember where this bring this guy here in a bit.
Right.
So that happens, and then...
And of course, this guy is you, the character.
Right. Yes, yes, obviously.
Bring this dude who I've never met, but who I've been watching through all of my followers...
Even though he's really far away, apparently.
So far away that apparently traveling here causes him issue.
Or does it? But we'll get to that in a minute.
I just want to say something about the cutscene. You know, in the cutscene, you obviously see the results of all the data you gathered when you were going around asking the people with the titles and their names. But in the cutscene, you do have the ability to choose what you, you know, whether you wave, bow, that kind of thing. Did anybody watch that cutscene again after the quest?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because you can. And I didn't get back to do that, but I was wondering if when you watch that cutscene, if it preserves you, you know, your wave, bow, kneel, whatever.
I can check that out really quickly if you'll give me one moment.
What option did you choose?
I did nothing.
You just stood there.
Just stood like an asshole.
I bowed.
You bowed? Yeah, I bowed too. It seems like a respectful thing to do. I didn't know what kind of god this guy was. I was like, I'm not fooling around.
He's not getting my respect until he earns it.
Also, while you're looking that up there, did you request to be called by your given name or your Fremenic name?
My actual name.
Yeah, my given name.
Oh, I went with my Fremenic name.
Although, I mean, I was Thorvald, which is kind of nifty, but alright. Alright, so... Remember the arrival. Okay. Let's watch this and see what happens.
That would be nice if we had video here, but I believe you talked to the planner in order to access this again, right?
Yeah.
You can talk to Freya Lune or Alfric the planner. It doesn't matter. They're basically the same character.
It sends you off to the island where you're supposed to be meeting him.
Oh, it just shows you like 10 seconds of it. That's dumb.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Anyways, whatever. Okay, so let's get to the island.
All right, so you're on this island, and then there's like this fisherman guy that you can go and talk to, and he's like really high. He's like, dude, I just saw me. Can you help me find me? And then like you can click on his boat and a dock and some rocks, and it's like, this is not the time for sightseeing. It's like, all right, so why do I have this option? Then I ran around after investigating everything, and I'm like, okay, I guess I should go inside the cave now, because that's why I came here. Right. So I went inside, talked to the guy, and he's like, I'm being weakened because everything is being duplicated.
Did you go through that whole chat option?
Yeah.
Because I that was at the point where I was like, I don't remember who he... Obviously, you go through all the chat options anytime you're doing a quest, but I was really paying attention and trying to remember who he was, and I really feel like there was limited references, even up to this point, of him... That there was no references in this quest to his mention in anywhere else in the game. It was really weird to me, because I didn't remember him in, like...
Like, he's not someone that's... prominent, like,
and this
Robert
might explain some things in just a couple minutes, but we'll get there.
Right, sure.
Alright, so everything's being duplicated or something, and that's the stuff that was being investigated. So you go back outside and you find everything that's been duplicated, and it has V energy or something in it. And the first of the set, you go there, and then you click on it, then he teleports to there. You know, he couldn't walk.
Because he's so weak that he can barely do magic, and he can't even bring food in at a feast for all of his followers, but he can teleport to the spot.
Yeah.
And see, there's one source of the energy for each of the objects on the island, right?
Well, no, both of them have it, but like he has to be at one, and then you go get the other or something.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought there was only one source tied between both objects.
I don't know.
It really doesn't matter. It was just more... I felt like this was busy work.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So you do that for everything, and then you go back inside, and he's still weak.
Yep. And then... Huge... Basically,
just
that was the end of the quest.
Swerve.
That was end of quest number
and
one.
Then the dragon can appear.
Just randomly.
Yeah. And then they kill V because he's what they call a false user, who's someone who's poked the Stone of Jazz, and then stuff happened.
So my question is like, we've touched the Stone of Jazz.
Yeah, why are we still alive? Like,
why is he a user? He's a false user, and we're a false user. Okay. Now he apparently we learn when we're talking to him and stuff on his travels, he's gone around. He's met many other adventurers, many other gods. He's traveled to many different realms. We're not going to discuss the time restraints of that because he's only been gone since the edicts came up. But whatever. And
several
we assume he's built
end of the Third Age.
Yeah, but. So we know that he's built his power from other things. So it's not just the stone. But we've touched the stone too, so why aren't we in trouble with these dragon can who show up and punish him as a false user?
We're not as high a priority.
Apparently, Sliske believes that a false user and a stone toucher are two different things, depending on how the Stone of Jazz is used. He believes that when a false user draws power from the stone all at once, a stone toucher gains knowledge from it. Oh, okay, sorry, I didn't read that correctly. He believes that while a false user draws power from the stone all at once, a stone toucher gains knowledge from it gradually. So you just poke it, and then it's not that big of a deal.
But this is a definition coming from Sliske.
Right.
He's not wrong.
That's one of my biggest issues with the lore around this whole issue of the stone, because it really does affect most of the recent lore, and that we are a false user. We have touched the stone. We've used the stone's power to fight.
But we haven't done anything with it, really. Everything got boosted to 255 so we could kill a tormented demon and then some other instance, and then we lost all the power, right?
Yeah, but then it happened again in Dishonor Among
Thieves. Then, Lucian wanted to do a lot of stuff with it, and he, kept it and did a bunch of stuff with it.
Yeah, but in this instance, did V do that?
I'm not sure.
The way that he describes it is he touches the stone, he gets his initial power, he gains his other power from beating lesser gods and by doing right and going out and being a hero, quote. He calls himself the god of heroes and heroism. So at what point is he, what makes him a false user and not us? I mean, it's not like
He used it to create rune altars, it seems.
So that's what the definition is that... And again...
He actually did stuff with it.
Whereas I guess you could split it in that our encounters with it have been more tangential rather than, directly motivated to touch the stone, if you get where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were like, well, we need the power. Let's take it for a second. We'll put it back.
Yeah, which is basically what happened, right?
I guess. It's just because,
the dragon can always go apeshit if someone's a quote-unquote false user, and they haven't gone apeshit on us yet, so.
Right.
But like I said, we're also a lower priority to them compared to what else is going on and everyone else who's wanting to use the stone or other artifacts for nefarious purposes.
Right.
Yeah.
But does V fit that description based off of everything we know?
He would seem to.
Is he using it for nefarious purposes? Did he use it as his...
Use it, extensively, which I think is the only definition.
See, this is the debate they want us to have. Does anyone else here see the parallel between what V was described as doing and, what the military doctrine of the 20th and 21st centuries can be summed up as?
Oh, my God, Shane.
What? Was I the only one that thought of that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's heavy, man. That's heavy. I don't know. I just found this whole scheme up to the point where the dragon can show up, and then the dragon can show up, and the storyline of all of that, they just don't really fit in my, based off of what I was reading and my understanding.
Well, yeah, we were not advertised a Dragonkin quest. We were advertised a quest about a Fremenic legend, returning for an epic quest. But the Fremenic legend.
But then he
is
died.
Dead.
Yeah, did we even mention that? So the dragon
cannot
come in, and then there's one of them in a cage for some reason, and then it breaks. They channel energy from V into the guy in the cage, and then the cage breaks, and V's dead.
Yeah. We won't discuss any of the implications of that, because that just gets into a whole nother. Why is
the
guy in the
cage? Strange.
Why does the cage go away?
I think it's because he's crazy or something, and they wanted to talk to him first.
The idea behind that was he was in a cage because he had already absorbed energy from killing off, other stone touchers and false users or whatever you want to call them. So that accumulated to a point where they had to contain him.
Sure.
And putting this energy from V into that dragonkin was, in a way, the last straw.
Right.
For that
dragon. The one who's in the cage, Tarshik, was the one who was meeting with... We haven't quite mentioned this guy yet, because we haven't gotten to that point in the quest, but he was meeting with... goodness, what is the guy's name? Now I'm going to have to go look it up.
Sakrith or... Phalax?
Yeah, whatever his name is. The guy who created KBD. And that was where he got the idea, and he's already done it. But he's in a cage. My thing, I was confused with why is the guy in the cage... being given more energy if he's being put in a cage for absorbing energy.
I don't know. There's so many things
where, like, I feel like they just threw a quest out because they wanted to get some lore out there and they wanted to have a quest. But, like, if you actually think about the implications of what they're trying to tell you, you're like, what?
How about we go through the whole quest first, sure, and then we talk about the implications?
We're already losing quest.
Because it's not going to be helpful to the listeners if we discuss things that happen later before we discuss.
So we get through the entire Fremnik portion of the quest. Dragons show up, kill V, and then we are annoyed because this guy who we were working with for 2 minutes suddenly died, and we're horribly distraught about that. And apparently, we didn't even really know him, but apparently he protected us in some way because our character quote says, "You saved my life. I shall avenge you."
I just stepped to the side or something.
Like, yeah, I don't know where he got.
I did a recording of the quest, and I'll go back and look at that later. But I'm pretty sure, like, I just stepped to the side because right, this is not good news. I'm getting out of the way. You have fun.
It was more a leap.
Whatever the cause,
I got out
dies,
of the way.
And I felt like it was a very weak reason that we were irritated by this. I mean, whatever.
I mean, we didn't really have any emotional connections.
A fellow hero of ours is killed, so we're agitated by that. And we make an oath that we're going to avenge him. So
it's like, all right, well, I've done things for less reason than that. All right, so let's go.
When I was actually doing this part of the quest, I was like, the heck am I supposed to do now? And it was like, go through his stuff. And I honestly didn't quite catch the fact that there was a room behind where his body was at. So I was walking around for like 30 minutes trying to figure out what to do. I know, I'm an idiot. But well, so you go back in there and you check his body, and he's got his stuff, or not, you know, behind his body, you go into his basically bedroom and check his stuff. And there's a journal there that's telling you where to go. And I was like, well, why didn't we go here initially if we thought that this was the whole problem? Because he told you he thought that was the problem. Whatever. So then
you had to go there to meet him first.
Right.
And presumably that would have been the next step.
Yes.
But anyway, so...
Yes. So you go to the...
You get a fragmented map, which somehow, like, you already know where some of the pieces go. I didn't get that bit. But
whatever.
It's because putting a puzzle together on your own would be too hard.
Apparently.
Yeah, they made a puzzle that was already too easier.
And then you find out that it's the ancient cavern under the barbarian outpost thing. You jump through the whirlpool, which...
Right.
That's another bad idea, I think, but that's a story for another time.
Well,
Just jumping into a whirlpool.
I figured it was near the forge there, so I just used Curtis.
Yeah, I went there first, and then I like missed that little door. So I looked at the map
too.
Again,
it was
something.
A good thing. Well, that was the other thing I was going to mention. I missed the door there entirely because it's not a big door. And
yeah, so I went over to the Mithril Dragons, and like there was a door over there, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys find that too?
Well, I didn't go over to the Mithril Dragons, but yes, I did miss the door.
Yeah, so, like, there's another little door over there, and it's like, you should just ignore this.
Right.
I'm like, what? It's a Mithril...
And this is the second instance where, for the most part, I felt like the quest up to this point had basically pointed you where to go. And though this had technically pointed you where to go, in both instances it said check his stuff and go here. It really was not concise enough. I ended up wasting about an hour. If I'd had a guide, I'm sure it would have been no issue at all. But I was doing this just, you know, on my own, and it was like, where the heck am I supposed to go? But
like I ran around there for quite a bit, just trying to figure out what was going on.
Get to the door. It says it's, you know, there's probably a key. You make a key, whatever. You go in.
You don't even think, like, maybe there's a key. You just sort of stick the clay in there, and then somehow you get a mold, even though that's the opposite of how that works.
Well, whatever. That's my willing suspension of disbelief for the purposes of entertainment.
I guess.
But, yeah.
So you enter the door, and then there's, what, an adamant dragon on the other side?
Yeah, yeah. Right? But it can also apparently be steel or mithril, given the combat level.
Yeah, it's combat level based. And did anyone else go through the door and then have to run away like a crazy person?
No, you're given a warning that says you hear some snarling behind the door.
Like, I don't even know if I needed super anti-fires for this quest, but like when I was running around through the whole thing, I just made sure I had some and that was active on me the whole time.
No, you didn't.
Because I wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah, well, I went through and I was like...
It was just me being cautious.
Yeah. I had to leave and go get some... This whole step from V dying to getting to here took me longer than the rest of the quest. To beat that dragon.
Also, because I went over to the Mithril Dragons to look at the door, I had to kill a couple of them so I could, go over there and make sure there wasn't any dialogue or anything. And that took a while. And then I killed the Adamant Dragon really quickly. So I found an Adamant Dragon easier than a Mithril Dragon.
I agree.
Yep.
That ain't right.
Because the Mithril ones attack with Earth spells, whereas the Mithril ones actually use a hybrid magic and ranged combat.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just easier to damage the adamant, but whatever. That's something to discuss elsewhere. But so then you defeat it, and then you go in there, and then the four dragon kin are fighting. The crazy one, Tarshak, wounds two of them, but then there's one who's just, invincible to it, because apparently he has a Deus Ex Machina machine, and he's invincible to that stuff. So, and then after so the crazy one, Tarshak, goes away, and then you walk in there, and in what is quite possibly the least intelligent thing my character has ever done, I start yelling at this dragonkin, and I'm like, hey, I don't like you.
And then he knocks you down to 10 health.
Yeah.
And you whatever.
Like, why would you do that?
There should have been an option for that.
The whole thing.
At that point...
Because I understand that the part of the lore of the Dragonkin is that they think of us like an insect, and they're not threatened by our ass at all. So what does it matter if we're walking around them? Because they don't care.
Yeah, it was at this point where I was like, all right, this is weird. Because before, until we just talked about it, I was like, okay,
But then, so, the next part of the quest, we have to go find the mirror, right? Which is this mirror that allows
You have to, because the invincible guy, he had some charm thing.
Yeah, you gotta get the charm out of it.
So, for some reason, he went and put it in a chest.
Yeah. Well, so you have to get the charm in the mirror, right?
Instead of just keeping it on him, like any intelligent person would,
he puts it into their
vault. Some
right. So you're basically you have to go get that dragonkin protective charm so that you don't get knocked down to 10 HP every time you try and talk to a dragonkin. Fine. My thing is the whole premise of you talking to that dragonkin in the quest and he not killing you and the fact that you can walk up and talk to him is because he's not threatened by you. Then you have to go through this whole puzzle system where you have to walk across pressure pads and you can't step on anything and you have to be quiet and all this stuff. And if you are, the quest says, oh no, you're going to get killed by the dragonkin. Why? The dragonkin don't care about you. So why are we sneaking around in the lair in the first place? You should just be able to walk
Well, you're going to go steal his charm, so he's not going to like that.
And that'd be a bigger threat.
Yeah, but you can not step on a pressure pad, but you can push sometimes two crates at the same time.
Yeah, that took me a while, because in Dungeoneering, you can't do that. and this is just like a dungeoneering puzzle. So yeah. you can't do that in that, but then you can here.
Right.
So that took me a bit to figure out, and then when I did that, I felt dumb. but like once you get the charm, you can just like go back out there, and you can just, instead of sneaking, although I wasn't able to find a way out, like other than teleporting. Did
any
of you
teleported out?
I just teleported out because it says now that you got that, you need to go.
Yeah, so you just run back, and then you can just step on the pressure pad, and then, like,
yeah,
you run away, and everything's cool. Like, okay, yeah. And then you read the notes that you get somewhere, I guess in the chest, too, and then
the notes that just so happen to tell you where this guy might be at is also in with the protective charm, because that makes complete and total sense.
So you have to go to the Grotworm Lair, which is where the Queen Black Dragon is. And then there's a Dragonkin Scholar guy in there. And then you go in there, and then Phalax. His name's Phalax.
Can I interject with a point here? Why the heck do we go to Queen Black Dragon's lair when Phalax created King Black Dragon?
Because he's staying there to study the greatest creation of
his mentor.
His mentor or something, yeah. But his, the Queen Black Dragon is more powerful than the King Black Dragon.
Well, yeah, but so he's going to study the first creation, which was created by his mentor when he tried to make King Black Dragon, who's... It's very... Whatever.
I don't know which came first.
I guess that really hasn't been clarified in the lore. And technically in game UBD came late, but whatever. So you go there, you meet with Phalax, who is meeting with Tarshik, and apparently Tarshik, after absorbing all this power, which we forgot to mention in the whole fight, went at the place under the Brimhaven.
Ancient Cavern.
Yeah, Barbarian Outpost in the Ancient Cavern. There's a huge fight between the Dragonkin, and he ends up besting them, so the three of them against him end up having to fight him, and he, rather than getting bested, ends up... I didn't really catch that he had mutated, but he gets some
spikes.
Yeah,
like, I was just like, what? What's different about this guy?
Yeah.
He's a little uglier, I guess.
He's got a couple extra spikes on him. That were, I guess, that wasn't really enough of a difference for me to notice because it just looked like any other dragon. But he had extra spikes
right?
on him. And all the other dragonkin were like, oh my goodness, you're a freak, you're a mutant. And he's like, oh no, I'm bad. So he leaves.
Yeah.
And goes to this guy to get healed. Whatever.
Like, I thought that was a little strange. But again, whatever.
I would have mutated him more so it was more obvious that he was different, because I
well, they did do that at the end.
Yeah,
but
well, that's
we're getting
a
to that
big
so,
step,
right?
So,
Phalax gets mad at this guy for showing up in his lair and demanding that he heals him. So he just hits him with a dart that's got some poison in it.
Well, no, Tarshik just got really mad at him, and then in response, he threw the dart at him. So,
right,
and then he was weakened or something, and he's like, we need to kill him now or never. And
well,
then I was like, okay, so I ran back to the bank and got food.
That was the line.
Right. It was, what was that, Bane, or he hit him with a Bane dart or whatever?
Yeah, it was like poisoned or something. I don't really remember.
And apparently he's not concerned enough that he needs to go assist you to kill him. He just says, eh, whatever. If you want to kill him, the only way you're going to kill him is now while he's under the effects of this. Good luck, have fun. Whatever. This is an abomination.
So you do that, and then you beat him. It's really easy, and then
right. So Phalax says go to the Brimhaven dungeon, and you have to go there.
Yeah, and then you do that, and then you run
did
down
you guys
below.
Have difficulty with that boss fight?
Which one? The one in Brimhaven?
Yeah, the one in Brimhaven.
Not a bit.
Me either.
Okay, I apparently missed the fact that you need to mine the pillars, so I ran out of food. first try.
Yeah, well, luckily, my usual practice for quest fighting is I bring a pack yak full of, you know, rock
pills. Yeah, that didn't work.
Wow, you were stuck that long. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the first 3 minutes, I was like, what am I supposed to be doing here? And then I caught on to the fact that you had to mine the pillar and then let the fireball hit it. And I was like, okay. But after, you know.
Yeah, and once you know that, it's easy because the fireball does do some damage to the pillar beforehand, but it doesn't actually physically destroy it until they're mined out twice.
Right. Which is, they suggested 100 combat. If I had known what was going on for this fight and had a plan going into it, you don't even need to do combat.
That's entirely right. And that's the thing I was going to mention when we started this.
So there are two stages to the boss battle. One, the first bit, you have to mine pillars around the room so the ceiling falls on him, which, not really sure where I got that from, but all right, I'm apparently very intelligent and use ceilings as weapons, so okay. And then once you do that and the ceiling starts falling, apparently there's a whole lot of ceiling because, like, rocks keep falling for the duration of the second stage of the fight. And you can literally just run around and, like, stand in places where he's standing under the rocks where they're falling, and it does a ton of damage to him.
Well, anytime he hits you with a fireball, you just take two steps back, and then he walks forward and sits in his own fire.
Yeah, exactly.
It was ridiculous. I didn't even have to do anything. I could probably do that with a quarter inventory of food.
Assuming he has, let's say, 100,000 health, I probably did 6,000 total damage to him myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's just running around. It's easy.
Yeah. And one thing I'd like to say about this is it's a very unique boss mechanic, and it's something we need to see more of because, it's the classic thing. You have the obvious option of just hit the thing with your sword, or you can use a bit of creative thinking and let the environment do the work.
What's interesting to me is this is a replayable boss now.
Yes.
And for a boss, I haven't gone to replay it, but
only
I thought
the
it was
second
so...
part though.
Really?
Oh, I missed that bit.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, that's one of the greatest rewards to this quest.
So
we'll
beat them, it's a dramatic death, yay, and then suddenly after defeating this quote abomination, Felix shows up with his posse of scientists, right? That's what I got away from them.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're researchers. And then they're like trying to do some stuff, and then the original three who killed these show up and they're like
warriors deal. Like, Karapak is... now, was he in that previous Dragon King
quest?
Yes,
he was in
one of a kind. He's the nice one. He's like, all right, your work's done. You can leave.
He's the one who's resisted the curse for the longest. He's got the white scales because he does research on himself.
Yeah. And he's like, your work here is done. You can leave. And you're like, no, I can't. And he's like, yeah, you can. And then you're like, no, there are people there. I can't do that. and then they just yell at each other for a bit. And then you have an option to say nothing, say the plan is dumb, or play or say the plan sounds great.
Right.
I said it sounded dumb, and then they all started attacking each other, and I was like, okay, I'm going to return to Relica and talk to Freya Lune and be like, hey, I did it.
Once, if we just discuss we'll discuss it after we're done. Let's get through the whole quest before we start talking about it. Holy cows. There's just so much that's weird about this one. Normally, quest-wise, I'm happy with the story, but there's just so many... fridge logic issues. Anyway, you finish up with that. They do the whole conversation, and then, like you were saying, or you basically just decide, I'm going to leave, even though you said you couldn't leave a second ago. Before the whole conversation starts, you say you can't leave, and then in the middle of
the
fighting,
literally standing in the doorway, and then they came in a little, so you had like a little escape route.
Yeah, it's 3 steps towards the door, right? Whatever. And you're like, okay, well, let me just go back to Relica, and I'll talk to those people who, by the way, did any of us ever talk to anyone in the Fremnic province after V dies?
No.
Nobody knows he died. In fact, he says, enjoy your feast, right? And everyone says, yay. And then you have such a good time at the feast that you end up in some random farmyard.
Yeah, right? I was a little concerned about
and then
why
you show
that's
up.
Where I woke up.
Exactly.
Like, what
and then
happened?
You go to Alfric the planner, because that's who V told you to meet up with. And he says, hey, let's take you to this island where you go. And you've had no interaction with V, nor have any of the Fremnic had any interaction with V. And then you show up to talk to these guys, and they say, hey, come with us back to the island. So you go to the cave, and they've built this altar to V. May I just say, what's up with that?
Like, I'm pretty sure they used, like, him to build it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
because
he did turn into stone.
Yeah, he did get turned to stone.
He did get turned into stone.
But that also seemed a little irreverent, but I don't know.
The whole thing,
a little weird,
right? I mean, no. How does anyone even know he has died? First off,
yeah, because you just sort of leave after,
right? The Fremnic don't use prayer, do they? If I remember, oh my goodness, this is so long ago.
They don't use magic.
Fremnic trials, yeah, but Fremnic trials. Can you use prayer?
No,
they don't allow prayer.
But I think that was just in that one room. I'm not sure there's like anything against
obviously
it.
When you're fighting Dagonoth, which is largely Fremnic related stuff, you need to man, that's interesting.
I don't know.
I think the true Fremnic are against prayer, but whatever. Irrelevant to the point that
it's magic, they definitely
yeah,
problem.
They don't like magic. I know they don't like magic at all. And I just you finish the quest after you go in and look at his altar. Yay. Holy cow.
So, and then suddenly there's an emissary.
Yep.
Now, my question, where does he get, like, I didn't talk to the guy, but where does he get, like, his agenda?
How is he Pope? What's the guy's
how
name
is he
again?
Pope?
Yeah, Hanu or something like that? Pope Hanu. How does he suddenly become the head of the church first?
Yeah.
Why isn't it one of the 7 people that we talked to earlier on in the quest?
Yeah.
I guess because they don't want to replace those people from the Fremnic City. They got to bring in an additional NPC.
But why not the 2 people that, like the Moon Clan lady and the Fremnic guy? Because
right,
they're not
exactly
being used anywhere else. No, I guess they have to sail the ship, right?
One of them does.
Yeah.
Personally, I thought it would have been a better touch to have a Moon Clan representative and a Fremnic Nation representative both serving as emissary. Because really, that would show a true joining of the 2 groups.
Nah. Yeah.
That way, you know what I mean? That's personally, if I had written the story, that's what I would have done, is had both of them serve as the emissaries. Whatever. Can we talk about the actual quest implications?
I'm
going to
talk about rewards for just a brief moment.
Oh, rock out
first.
Some rewards.
So, you get 2 quest points, 10,000 XP in mining, smithing, slayer, and divination. You also get access to some more adamant dragons in the Dragonkin lair. Abomination Cave, Baenor Rocks. 5% more runes when runecrafting. This unfortunately does not apply to combination runes. I tested that. Replayable Abomination Fight. Now, this is the second phase of the Brimhaven Dungeon fight. It drops Dragon Javelins and the Abomination Cape, which is a cape that has some very interesting stats on it. Level 75 defense required, and an armor rating of 58, and a melee strength 50. Bonus of 28. 50. Yeah, 50. I combined the 2 numbers there. 50 and 28 strength.
That's not a bad...
That's better than a skill cape.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. But it only provides its bonus to melee, so you know, you got to keep that in mind. But makes sense if you're thinking Framenek-wise, I think.
Mm-hmm. How does that rate in comparison to, you know what, I'll look that up rather than just asking.
Quest Point Cape has a strength bonus of 21 and an armor of 33.
But like Fire Cape equivalent and stuff like that.
Fire Cape. They changed the icon. There it is. Fire Cape has 25 armor, 26 strength bonus.
I think this is the best cape in the game currently.
Yep.
I think so too.
For melee.
Wow. For melee.
The Takar Cape is 44 armor, 31 strength.
Okay, so
that has a slight strength.
Slight strength bonus, slight weaker armor.
Yeah.
Which, in most instances, you're tanking, so.
And at the end of the day, two or however many it is, let's
three.
See, what is it? Three?
Three?
That's nothing in terms of strength bonuses.
Right.
So, best cape in the game, and you don't need to do anything like.
You can just buy it.
Yeah, you can buy it.
You can
and
just buy it.
I don't think the fight's nearly as tough as the fight kiln fight to get this. So
certainly can't be.
All right, and let's see.
All right, so.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all we got for rewards.
Are we done? We done?
Yes. You
can do it?
All right.
All right. So, implications.
All right. I just want to ask why this wasn't two quests. I felt like. Besides the fact that it was advertised as a Framenek
quest, they just shoehorned the dragonkin in.
That's
what I got from that.
The entire thing of V, and then did an entire quest on dragonkin, and they basically combined two completely separate quests almost, and just put it together as one.
Yeah, I mean, technically, V did touch the Stone of Jazz and did stuff with it. Like, that's the only connection to the dragonkin, and that's... Eh.
Right.
And, I mean, if you were to do a introduction to V quest, it would be more of a novice, you know, beginner player quest after the Framenek ones, because you can't just jump straight into, you know, V's death. So...
Right. Well, and like...
But the question is, what else... would we have needed to know about V in terms of an introduction? And I think that's why they were combined
like
into two.
He literally has different names, too. Like, I don't get that either. Like, his
right.
name differs from player to player. Why?
I mean, why does each individual player's Framenek name change, though?
That's just something you're assigned. But, like, this is a player character, non-player character. He should have a static name. Because V is kind of a stupid name, right?
Well, he can be Vassador, Valador, Vastor, Verosad.
You don't need to go through all
Vudisor,
of them.
Yeah.
Vlato,
you really,
Vidolas,
you can stop.
I got three left. Versita, Vizolota, Vanjuta, Ventura, and Veloti.
That was six more, just for the record. I don't know. See, now, after the quest, you've got all this information about the dragonkin, but really, what more do we know about the dragonkin?
Well, what we do know about the dragonkin...
You're right. You are entirely right. We learned absolutely nothing.
We didn't learn anything about them, but we did learn... that there is the potential for a Dragonkin Civil War kind of thing.
Sure, but really what we did learn here is that there are not just three of them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much...
Four.
Yeah, four, because we knew there were four. Because we knew there were three, and then we... But what's
interesting...
We
knew that there had
me,
been some before.
Sure.
But...
I mean, we learned who created King Black Dragon, so we learned that, which has some interesting side... like lore things if you're like a really interested person in the lore. But the real implications of this is we know very little more about the story of the Dragonkin. And did we learn anything about the Framenek? What's interesting to me now is you have two groups of large armies that are completely leaderless. Because you guys talked about this on show 521, I think it was, a few weeks back. Where the question was, is, you know, if Vandalus followers
right.
what's going to end up happening with Vandal's followers. Well, now what's going to happen with Fremnic followers? You keep kicking out the gods, fine. I'm okay with that because you got to have progression in the canon of lore. But, you know, the question you guys were talking about a few weeks ago was, is what happens to the Vandal's followers? Is there going to be a god that steps in? Is there going to be, you know, a hero that steps in? What I think is going to end up happening here is we're highly respected in the Fremnic community. We're highly respected with some of the Bandos community. And really, if you look at like the Bandos community, who wins? The strongest fighter. Has anyone in the Bandos army ever beaten us? No. So by logic and by right of title and claim, we should be leading the Bandos army and we should be leading the Fremnic army. We as the World Guardian are eventually going to be our own non-god leader of huge troops. I don't know. Because from a lore perspective, the implications of this just puts a different group with no god in a world that now has gods. So there needs to be a hero who's going to step up and protect them, or they're going to have to declare allegiance to a god. Am I right or wrong about that?
You are right.
So I don't know. It's beyond all the different tidbits in the quest, which irritated me, where there was logic flaws and things that one second before you just said you couldn't do something and then you can, or like, why did we even have an adamant dragon in there? I think it was just for us to see the adamant dragon because it was recently released. Whoop-de-doo. Like, did it do anything for the story? Did it have any, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a guard dog, but they don't need a guard dog, and you walk in right after you kill him, which, by the way, nobody hears you fighting an adamant dragon, and they don't care because you're an insect to them. Like, it's so confusing. I don't understand why it was there at all, but whatever. If you just look at the lore implications of this, you have the dragonkin in a possible, like you said, civil war, but they've never really been a true entity in the overall schemings of the world and the gods and the societies that are contained in this world. But now you've had them kill a true god who led a large number of people. Not only the Moon Clan, not only the, you know what I mean? So different, a whole segment of the world of Gelenor is now godless that was following this god who apparently I've missed in my studies. I don't know.
Well, I mean, when the behind the scenes for this was released, I felt the same way. So you're not the only one.
It's interesting. I had always really kind of thought that they were followers of Guthix.
Yeah,
it would certainly seem that way, and
like
Theo
was very reverent towards Guthix.
Yeah, and that's what I got from the quest as well. Except, you know, whereas Guthix would take the pacifist approach, V would actually, you know, fight for the values of people who.
I would not call Guthix a pacifist, though.
Well, I mean,
not in the slightest.
Well, compared to others who, you know, like to get down into the nitty-gritty and so forth.
Sure.
Right?
Well, what was interesting to me, and you'll like this, how they tried to paint V as a hero, but if you actually listen to his stories, he's going around, and he even says, sometimes the sword is a better method.
Yeah.
So he's basically a version of Vandos, only he's validating his violence.
Yes. Yes. And
which,
and what I said, I don't know if anybody got this, but this does draw parallels to real world military interventions.
Yep. It does. The whole, I don't know. As a quest, I enjoyed playing it, but
I didn't realize, like, all these issues with it until talking to you guys just now.
Well, and I mean, we've had quests like this before.
Right. Oh, God.
It's just interesting. Yes. If you really think about what you're playing and what was going on in all that, and consider it in the implications of the lore that's in the game and how it's going to affect the game's canon, it's a weak quest.
I want to watch your video of it now.
All right.
Yeah, that's something that I need to do, I think. And we'll let everyone do that eventually once you get that to me. But So the question we come back to is, where to after this? And, I mean, could we have, you know, mitigated some of these questions if we split it up into two quests, like you said, Draz? Or maybe it just
there wasn't enough
to be a bigger quest
to make it two quests.
That's what I really think the problem was. They didn't have enough content with V, and yet they wanted to put content in the Fremnik area because, quite honestly, who goes there anymore? And so this allows everyone to go visit that section of the map for a couple minutes. Yay.
Team Penguin goes there.
I'm going to sigh heavily and say, yes, you are correct. And then shake my head. But there is really very limited content in that area. And this just gave everyone a reason to have to walk over there. Great. And then it sends us around to a bunch of dungeons throughout all of Runes. Basically every real dungeon, if you really think about it. There's other dungeons.
Deal with the Dragonkin.
Yeah. And are we going to even comment on the fact that the Dragonkin are apparently in every single dungeon in RuneScape? That we can visit? I mean, they're in... Really, what other dungeons are there?
Taverly.
We did not go to Taverly, you're right.
No, we did not.
That's it.
Chaos Tunnels, Edgeville Dungeon.
Edgeville's more dwarf territory. I'm just thinking of it from a lore perspective. And yeah,
we went a lot of places.
We went to a lot of places though, where we've been before. There's a lot of quest content at, etc. It's just nobody's ever noticed that there's Dragonkin here. I mean, whatever.
Easy we didn't peasy. Go to Kethsi and see the Rune Dragons.
True. So, I don't know. I think that really they could have split the quests and just had separate quests and had them, you know, in progression, but there wasn't enough content to do that. I just felt like from a... It was... How long did it take you guys to do this? An hour?
Hour and a half.
Just under 2 hours.
Right. I mean, it's definitely not a long one. It was 2 hours of fun, I guess. But it really doesn't have any long-term implications on the game other than what happens to the Fremnik now that they're god, that they were worshipping to, which I had always thought that they were followers of Guthix, so that's awkward.
And let's not underestimate the instability of the Dragonkin with this kind of stuff that's happened to them, because there's definite tension there, and you don't want the Dragonkin to be agitated.
Let's talk about that plan that they're supposedly going to be implementing.
What plan is this?
Where they're going to be sacrificing false users by sacrificing one of their own members.
Yeah,
to absorb
that,
power.
See, that is, I mean,
how many?
Okay,
my understanding was that Bob went around and killed most of the Dragonkin, and there's a very limited number of them. Correct?
Yes.
Like, at one point, we believe there to be less than 5.
I think so, yeah.
And now there's apparently 6. There was 7. One of them turned into an abomination. So there's 7 of them? How many false users are there?
I don't know. This is a mess.
Yeah. It creates a... Because my understanding of the lore of the Dragonkin with Bob, you know, the cat, and all of that shenanigans and silliness, that was limited content we knew about them, but he went around and he killed them all many, 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 many moons ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he killed a bunch.
Okay, so then there were not that many left, so many so that they had been thought to be extinct, and there's definitely not like an army of them around, and yet apparently there are multiple factions of them, and enough that they're willingly considering sacrificing one at a time to get rid of false users, which makes
me
ask,
that's why I said that plan is stupid and
of course
sort of shuffled out the door.
And who is going to kill the Dragonkin abominations? I mean, us again?
Apparently.
Well, obviously.
I don't think they're concerned about it. I think.
Yeah, that's a problem for the ones who are still living, right?
Right. Now, we did say it's stupid, and I think part of the point was is we were trying to address the fact that it's stupid, but the fact that that is a suggested plan that the characters of the Dragonkin are considering makes me ask two questions. How many Dragonkin are there, and how many false users are there? If there's only 20 false users, maybe the curse can be lifted. If there's 500,
no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, but if you carry out with that plan, the Dragonkin are done. They're gone.
Right.
And aren't they the protectors of the stone?
Well, I believe they're...
Do they even know where it is right now?
I don't... Well, of course they do.
Sliske has it, right?
It's in the Shadow Realm.
So, after Dishonor of Thieves.
Yeah, after Dishonor of Thieves, he took it back, correct? Oh, man, that was a couple weeks ago. My mind.
I don't know. I don't know. We've been going at this for an hour. Are we going to reach any resolution on this?
It's not as bad as that Dwarf Quest, though.
True. I think It was an entertaining quest to play. I think from a story perspective, it was irritating and really lacking.
Yeah, it's like one of those, you know, season finales of your TV show that, like, leaves a bunch of stuff hanging, and then question is, will it be resolved in the next chapter, which I guess we're going to have to see in the Dragonkin. But
sure.
Like we said, we weren't expecting a Dragonkin quest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, this that wasn't mentioned, like, ever.
Never.
That the Dragonkin would be in this, because never? Not once?
Not that I'm aware. Not in any.
Didn't they do, like, a design document or some shit for
nope.
it?
Not this
No,
quest.
They did not? Oh. Okay. Well. Surprise!
Yeah. But let's just remember the tagline. A Fremenic legend returns for an epic quest.
Right. And
some quest. He died.
He dies in the first 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah. He returns
whatever.
And then he dies.
Well,
how epic.
On a scale of 1 to 5, what do you guys rate that? Just from its advertised perspective.
The quest as a whole?
Yeah, the quest as a whole. Just from its advertised perspective.
Playing through it for... Analyzing it and realizing what it actually means, 2.
Same. Yeah. I'm going to go for that.
Yeah, I enjoyed playing it, but once you actually consider what you played, it's...
Once you think about it, it's like, wait, that's...
Some horse dung that you just gave me. Well, you know, whatever. I agree with you. Actually realizing what it is, it's a 2. Playing it was very entertaining. I enjoyed it. It was a 4.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just not supposed to put this much thought into it.
Possibly. I do have a tendency to do that.
And then, I mean,
I didn't introduce myself
and...
at the beginning of this show. I'm a quester.
Well, we know that.
I mean, just because I founded a questing clan doesn't mean I could be a quester. I guess that is an implication.
All right, we got a question about the quest later in the question, so unless there's anything burning through your pocket right now, I'd like to move on to the summer beach party.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Yeah, summer beach party.
All right.
Okay. So this is, you know, just like the Christmas event in the Lumbridge crater, except it's very sandy, bright, and burns your eyes out if your screen's anything like mine.
What time of day did you do this?
Well, I mean various times of the day. I went there at night and I went there, you know, mid-afternoon and same thing, so.
All right, so question, is it worth going?
Well, I mean...
Yes.
Okay.
Go visit, if only for the reason, did you get any mysterious boxes? That's what they're called, right?
I've not been there yet, actually.
Yes, then you should definitely go pick those up.
If you got any mysterious boxes in the from your keys in the last like 2 weeks or whatever in the chest, you know, Treasure Hunter, she gives you bigger boxes. So I went just for that, because I had gotten like 18 boxes or something, and ended up making like almost a million in cash off of the bigger boxes.
Yeah. And the amount I had, I got 450K, so it's definitely worth going for that. Right. And I mean, there's activities you can do, you work up towards cosmetic items and whatnot. I was in a click frenzy, and I apparently got one of the more rare things that you can get, the tradable tokens. I got the buried in the sand resting animation.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you can get that and a bunch of others.
Wait.
I mean, beach ball.
What awards did you get?
I got a buried in the sand resting animation just from doing things there.
The ducks are part of this too, right?
Yes, the duckies are a part of this. You remember that when the pet update came out, they brought out the Mega Duck. So what you can do is you can actually dig at various places in the crater, in the sand, and you get the little rubber duckies. And once you get 10 of them, you do unlock 2 titles. So, I mean, if you want duck titles and you enjoy your duckies, then I guess you can do that.
If you're quackingly mad.
There you go. There you go. The titles you get are the Quackers and the Totally Quackers. So you could be Lord Earth, the Quackers.
Or I
he's
could
totally
not.
Quackers, though.
So, like, what?
What do you mean?
What's even going on here? There's a fish. Why is there a fishing spot?
Because
the pool
that's
is
part
like.
Of-
It's
Where
for,
are all the fish coming
that's
from?
That's for Battleship. That's to play with the boats, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah,
you can also
you play
with the boats.
The boats that you got from the treasure hunter.
I unfortunately stopped keeping my battleships.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Whatever.
So, like, what are you fishing?
Well, you just fish and, I mean, you get XP. It's kind of like, you know, the Citadel training, you don't actually get any physical objects, but you get the XP.
Okay.
They're giving you experience for standing next to the river and pretending.
Yeah, and you can also,
if you don't catch fish.
And if you do get the fish, you can drop them off at the barbecue for extra XP.
Oh, snap.
Then you can use the barbecue and cook and get XP there. Or you can pick from palm trees, get coconuts, get farming XP, and then deposit them at the coconut shy for more XP. So it's circular in the way you can go.
Right.
There's also a way to get ranged XP by using the coconuts and whatnot at the coconut shy to throw and hit targets. So I don't know. It's just a standard holiday event, not too much involved, more than the Christmas one, I'll say. But you do have a limitation on the amount of XP you can get based on your temperature. So as you do more activities, your temperature rises. And once that reaches a maximum, you don't get any more XP. So you are limited in the amount of XP you can get there. Unless you eat your ice cream to reset your temperature gauge, and you can have 3 ice cream cones a day.
I'll be honest, I stopped listening for a minute, and then you just said something about eating ice cream to lower your temperature so you can do more things.
Yes, basically. So you get more XP.
Okay.
Yep, you can't go to Ice Plateau, though.
Right.
There's also anti-sun potions, which boost the XP gained on the beach, if that's your kind of thing.
It's just, I like the fact that they've created a level of content that is fun, not necessarily going to be... It's XP waste, so I'm not sure how much people actually spend here. But it's fun that it's all this stuff that's themed on like a beach party idea. So it's kind of cool that someone went through and came up with a system of, you know, ice cream and sunblock and blah, 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 blah. But then,
oh, yeah. I mean, there's even cocktails, 4 of them that boost XP in each skill category. So combat, artisan, gathering, and support.
Right. I haven't... Personally, I just haven't had time in the real world to sit down and go and enjoy that summer beach party to the extent that I would like to discuss it on here. But
and let's be real. I mean, if you're wanting to do something on RS, you're going to do the things you know that will get you the XP, because the XP you get from this thing is minor. And if you're going to be spending time here, you're going to be doing it for the cosmetic rewards of one type or another.
Right. You're a completionist and you want to be called quackers.
There you go. There you go.
So
I don't know who would want to be called quackers, but...
I want to make sure that Earth has that name available in his title queue so that he can call himself that whenever he's around me, because Earth the Quackers sounds like a
what?
An accurate assessment of character.
Not the divine?
I mean, that sounds more like Shane's title, but...
Woo! All right. They're going to be adding more to this throughout the summer, so we'll have all kinds of odd things coming with this. But if you see me buried in the sand, don't worry. It's all an act. I'm perfectly A-okay.
Good to know.
All right. And just a bit of a reminder, I guess, to people that they are doing a seasonal high score rerun. So if you want to get any of these titles, you just need to come in top 100 of these various high score tables. Started this past week, and they're running through the middle of October.
Blue Scrolls is number one.
I might try for the Gardener title in September. The maximum amount of herbs grown.
Rock it out, man.
Yeah, top 100.
I saw Blue Scrolls, and I was like, I'm not doing that. That's this week's.
Slayer of Imps is next.
Yeah, where's that list at?
Life points healed, stealing creation reward points, Slayer Tower kills, Chronicle fragments offered, fun weapon damage to Kirill, Dominion Tower endurance mode, wilderness PvP kills, herbs grown, solo complexity 6 dungeons, solo Zilliana kills, the most deaths, and the most undead kills. So, that's what we'll be rerunning. All right, let's move on to some tweaks and fixes. Not too much in the patch notes this week. July 4th, of course, Independence
Uncle
Day.
Sam.
So yeah, he'll be back. So if you didn't get your Uncle Sam gear last year, you can do that again.
I need to wear that hat again.
Yeah, I should pull mine out too.
You're a commie. You can't do that. You're impersonating him.
I can pretend to be American if I want to be.
Why would you want to be? You're a commie.
Why not? Canadian, man.
You're a spy. Don't give him a hard time.
Yeah.
But have you listened to the show before?
Sure, but it's basically a state, you know? It's just really
It's basically a state. Yeah.
Oh,
it's our
thanks.
Hat. Our hat, right?
Anyways, the balloon drops are happening at the Lumbridge Beach, so there's a reason to go to the beach this weekend if you have not got the Uncle Sam hat.
Yeah, yay. Guys, because sand, you can get just, tan, and...
The tweaks and fixes, one of the things that I liked in it, and it's completely unimportant, but they had some quick chat options that were added in there, like the White Knight ranking.
Oh, good.
And, yeah, so that you can look at, you know, based off of how many Black Knight kills, you can see your actual ranking, which...
Isn't good, because you couldn't before. Well, no, you could look at the wanted quest thing... In your quest.
Oh, is that where it was? Okay.
Yeah. Or you can go talk to the guy.
Yeah, you can look at number of Chompy Bird kills. You can look at, like, Barbarian Assault roll levels, stuff like that. Things that aren't necessarily huge things, but I like quick chat options. Especially.
Yeah.
You can just sit there and hit it real quick.
My levels are X, Divination, Dungeoneering, and Farming. Okay. Also, you can now purchase bank boosters or extra bank space by clicking the plus icon in your bank. You don't need to go to the store to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
Dungeoneering XP penalty is gone for players with high combat levels on free-to-play worlds. Prestige modifiers above 35 will continue to act as if they were 35 on the free worlds.
Right.
That's all I got. Anything else from you two here?
Yeah, nothing really. It really was a pretty small patch note.
It was. So we have the poll now for the June Rune Labs update. You get to choose 3 of these, and the top 3 will win. High-level mobs poll. Living Wyverns, Runic Elementals, Archeron Mammoths, faction gathering parties, the Ripper Demon, and the Camel Monster. Put this out there, and none of these are interesting to me.
Like, yeah. What?
Well, that just gets into the... Is the concept of mobs interesting? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
What don't you get? What do you not
Why
get?
Is... What is this?
It was the Rune Labs poll for...
Well, yeah, but, like, why?
What
I
are
don't
they
know. I mean...
He knows the names, but what are they actually doing?
No, like, Ripper... Camel Monster? Like, what?
That's what players suggested.
All right, All right. All right, whatever.
Well, is this going to be associated to raids? What is this?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Just high-level mobs, so it's intended to be a boss fight that requires multiple people to fight?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then it'll end up being Camel Monster just because of the ridiculousness of the name.
Oh, I can't give you a more in-depth explanation because I can't see the poll for some reason. That's odd. Anyways, I went for the runic elementals and faction gathering parties. I don't know why, they just sounded the least offensive out of the two.
Sure. They're also the two lowest voted numbers right now, right?
I went for Living Wyverns, Mammoths, and the Camel Monster because it's a camel monster. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious as to what Jagex is going to do with the concept of a camel monster. That was
maybe
my reasoning for voting for that.
Maybe he'll be able to get camel body parts, like the camel hump and the camel head and whatnot.
Oh, snap. Then we can walk around on Wednesday and say it's hump day with all of our camel humps that we got.
So funny.
That's hilarious.
All right. Here's what the description of the camel monster is. You ready for this?
I've read it.
I'm going to read it for the listeners.
Please, yes.
Deep in the Caridian Desert, a new threat rears its spittle-projecting head. Akthanakos has created a breed of camel warrior mages capable of frightening levels of violence tempered by a cold, inhuman intelligence and a perennially disgruntled demeanor.
All right, so that's going to be the most interesting update of 2015.
But for the top three that are winning,
all right, so I have an idea for Rune Labs. We need to just think of the most ridiculous things, submit them quickly as soon as the polls are open, and then, like, call in a bunch of favors and get it pushed to the top.
Hey, man, I'll pull my favors for something that's funny.
Yeah.
Will you pull your favors for a sequel to Enlightened Journey?
Sure.
Thank you. Be sure to contact you when it's time.
It's recorded, so you can hold that over my head. Oh, yeah.
But the living wyverns, fleshy versions of existing wyverns, tougher, scarier, and far less dead than their skeletal counterparts, with the added ability to poison you.
Coming in second place.
Oh, sorry.
Besides the description of what each of these is, what is the... When they're added into the game, is this just a boss, or is this going to be part of the upcoming raids?
I don't know,
I'm guessing they're just going to be bosses, because there's nothing it says, you know, pertaining to raids at all.
Interesting. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
The one in second place, the Ripper Demon. Return of Zaros has caused a portal to the Ripper Demon pocket dimension. These fell beings are adaptive in combat, changing their style often to keep an opponent on their toes. They also have the ability to wrap you in a deadly shadow or bind you in elemental ice.
Spoopy.
No. And then coming in third of ones that will be created is the Camel Monster of all things. So there you go, friends.
Yay.
I mean,
I'm so excited I can barely sit in my seat right now. Like,
oh yeah. Oh, we have a live audience. That's nice.
I got people behind me who are laughing. Man, oh man.
Did they hear the part about the camels?
They did hear the part about the camels.
Well, we already got a camel that can give a puzzle box, so I don't. So I guess this isn't that far of a stretch. So
somehow. So that's the message it says when you get it. You've received a puzzle box. Somehow.
Right. All right, maybe something a little bit more tangible now. Rune Labs July ideas are open, and they don't want a quest idea. They want a question that will be answered in a medium-sized quest.
Oh,
so
God.
This is, I guess, the perfect thing that Clan Quest can come behind and maybe get some submissions in. Or basically anyone who might have just started questing and has a burning question. Hey, I got one for us.
Rock it out.
What's our burning question from Heroes Welcome that we'd like answered in a medium-sized quest?
What the hell happened?
Well, okay. My point on this is, do we want to have a serious question answered? Or... because I can think of some funny questions that would be better
but
to ask.
Speaking of non-serious questions, how does the bank actually work? What happened to Tutorial Island?
Damn straight. That's what I'm talking about. So not serious questions.
And what
questions.
Happened to Kaigi?
Who? Like,
Kaigi. K-A-I-G-I.
What the hell's that?
I guess we don't know.
What?
But those are the top three options that are currently supporters in Rune Labs.
Those are the questions that they're wanting to ask right now?
Yeah, those are the top three.
Oh, see, I like the one about the bank. That's a good one. See, I've always I didn't do an introduction at the beginning of the show, but if I had, I would have said I'm a follower of Brassica, because I always found Brassica Prime and the humorous behind-the-scenes lore that's associated with him to be of a person's interest in RuneScape. And I want to know where he's at and what he's doing and what his plans are and when he's going to take over the world and all that jazz. Don't start with me. I was a victim of Sir Ottoman's destruction of the city of Askarath. I was one of the influential Naragi in the rest. Huh.
So the Easter event in 2014, that wasn't enough for you?
No. We need more.
Oh.
Did you try that Easter event? Because it was... a thing.
Kaigi, whatever.
I don't know, but there's the ideas. We'll be back next week with our ideas that we like.
Sure.
So.
Interesting.
All right, I feel like we're beating a dead horse now.
Yeah, behind the scenes.
Yes. Well, Tuska Falls, we have to wait until July 6th to get a cutscene as to, you know, what happened at the end of that battle. But it was already let out of the bag by mod Kalia that Tuska will die.
Is that the same one that told us it was rigged from the start?
Yes.
Was that in the same post? Because if so, she really dropped the ball.
So that'll be next week. And, I mean, we don't need to discuss this too much here, but Tuska dying, us winning, I guess that was the conclusion that was aimed for at the beginning, unless... there's an alternate perspective you have, Draz.
I mean, who really wants Gilinor to be destroyed in the game of RuneScape end?
Yep.
It's whatever.
All right. Also in July, we're going to have raids in the Gobi homeworld. So this is the raid update, high-level combat.
We're going to China?
That's what? Tuska's original world?
Gobi?
Yeah,
the Gobi Desert? World.
No, it's G-O-E-B-I-E.
whatever.
So it's like China, but to a guy who can't spell.
Yes.
Okay, so, cool.
So did anyone else feel like that announcement of that? I mean, they're instituting a whole new world and all that. They were just admitting that there's not enough content on the current Gilanoa world, and so they need to add another world.
Oh, let's not start with that. But yes.
Why didn't they put it in, like, the eastern lands or anything? You know what I mean? I don't understand why we needed it.
Or the place where the remnants of Tuska ultimately will crash down, right?
Right.
So, I mean,
I don't know.
Like, yeah, it's going to start out easy as, the raid update themselves. But apparently the challenge is even going to rival that of Virago.
Which, by the way, if you watch the video, I think it's at like 2 minutes and 30 seconds or something like that. They say that all of the Tuska stuff is going to continue on. It's just going to be moved to a different location. So in case you didn't complete it, you can get all the rewards still. Did anyone catch that?
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing they did before?
Yeah, for a bit, at least. But, I mean, why? Like, why would you go there when this is done already? It just doesn't make sense.
So, well...
Jagex.
I don't know. Keeping content in, so in case someone new comes in, they can get the armor and such, I guess. I don't know.
I suppose. rewards from the raids will include level 90 tank armor.
Oh boy.
I'm happy with my ports gear that I don't need to, you know, go put my life
do
on the line
anything
for. Yeah.
With ever again.
Well, and they're talking about some of this stuff requiring up to 10 players.
Yep.
And
it's going to use the grouping system. So hopefully that's been fixed well enough.
Should we discuss the difficulty of getting 10 players together?
Well,
it's not worth it.
Let's just simply say that it's easier said than done.
Yeah. I just feel like as an update, I'm excited for more content. I'm excited. I really don't do that much combat because for those
Same.
Players who are not familiar with me, I have no 99s. And I am intending to keep it that way as long as possible. And since all of my combat skills are 97 or 98, I cannot go any higher. So I don't do bossing or anything like that for the most part. So like this kind of an update really doesn't affect me because I likely won't use it immediately. But I still look at it and go, 10 players. It's hard enough to get 5 players together who can play well enough to play like Barbarian Assault, let alone something like this where you're going to have equipment on the line and it's going to be stressful.
But remember, they're going to do it. The people who want to do it because level 90 tradable tank armor, 5 new combat abilities.
True.
New pets, new titles, everything.
I'm interested to see the economic effects on like Drygors and other, not necessarily that because they'll still be top tier, but you look at Torva.
Yep. I don't know.
And it will also completely undermine the purpose of ports because if you can go get tank armor level 90, there'll be no reason
buying
to do
it. Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to say that was one of the best thing about ports was having this kind of armor locked behind content that you had to skill for and had to do a variety of things. But if you knew what you were doing, it didn't cost you anything, just time. And that was
right.
Really nice.
Exactly. I still don't have the full set from port. So, you know, I will go through a bout of inactivity. And so I don't get to go in and check my ports daily. And
right.
I, you know, what are you going to do? And
mm-hmm.
I look at this and I go, well, if there's a 90 or tier, you know, top tier tank armor, I'm just going to go buy it and not waste my time on ports, which means that content becomes dead. Other than the fact that I need it for completionist.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but that's just the way the game works. Best as quick as possible. Want it now? The now crowd.
Yep.
Speaking of now, fast lodestone teleports, so you'll be able to dump some runes into the lodestones, including Vizwax, and allow you to teleport using lodestones faster.
Faster?
So when they explain that, because it sounds like you know a little bit more than I do. Do you have to use runes in order to get the quick load stone effect?
Basically, what you'll do is you'll use a certain amount of runes and Vizwax and charge up the lodestone. Then they'll have a set amount of teleports that you can use instantly.
Okay. Yeah. Then I appreciate that.
So it's going to suck out runes and Vizwax from the economy.
So you're going to have, it's going to be a sink for that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because as it is now, there's such a high number of runes that'll never go away. Like, who even uses fire runes?
Yeah,
I do.
Or earth runes, just to
bother. Shove it up your ass. This guy promised me that he would give me 1 billion earth runes, and he has yet to do such a thing. So
he never said such a thing.
Uh-huh.
All right. Two quick little...
I am interested.
Sorry.
Talked about Elite Slayer monsters.
Yes. You know how at Rune Dragons, you sometimes get an Elite Rune Dragon?
Mm-hmm.
You'll have just spawn, say, an Elite Abyssal Demon. It'll be harder to fight, have a higher chance of giving you more loot, and that's really all there is to it.
Well, that's interesting, because I've listened to a lot of your guys' podcasts, and this is the first time I've been on it, but a lot of the discussion in the past has been people who get Slayer don't go back to Slayer, ever, and I'm curious to see if the fact that there are now going to be Elite Slayer monsters, maybe if the drops on them are better or have a higher rate or anything like that, it'll bring people back to Slayer. Be interested to see that, because it seems like that's a dead skill once you get 99.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who does it for fun past 99, so...
Right.
It's not far.
RS for fun, right?
And they'll also be running a Big Cats promotion with the World Wildlife Foundation to raise awareness of endangered and vulnerable big cats like jaguars and tigers.
Don't we have enough cats on the internet?
I agree.
Assholes.
Cat memes are like everywhere.
Oh, they are. And now you're going to have all the people who already have cat memes using them in their title on their name. Shout out to Quest Kitty.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, this is an update, I guess, for the kitty and cats of Clan Quest, right?
I guess it was designed specifically for us. Yay.
Just them, exclusively.
Pafia, yeah, Pafia Unite, right?
No one else.
That extra GE space, right? Is there anything else that's in the...
No.
Cats. Yeah, I think
Slayer,
that's it.
Done.
We're going to get... Yeah. Woo!
All right, well, let's move on to questions. We got two questions this week. We'll let you read the first one there, Earth.
Oh, Lord. Okay, this one is from Trekkie. Yo, dogs. Happy summer. Anyway, I like the beach they added in Lumbridge. I get to play in the sand and throw coconuts, pretending they are Shane's head. When summer is over and the beach is gone, what would you like to do in RS for fall? Maybe we can go harvest pumpkins for Halloween or start siphoning for maple syrup. In winter, how about we get sledding in RS again, like the good old days? Anyway... I'm going to go bask in the sun. Happy 4th of July, my American brethren. The day we decided the English can keep the place called Canada. There's no grass and snow for 8 months of the year. Yay.
For fall / Halloween, we're getting Ichthyrin versus Amaskit.
Hooray.
I want them to fill up that whole place where sand is at with leaves and then let us fall into the middle of it and not be able to get out.
And not be able to get out.
Yep. And it'd just be like, you got to swim forever and eternity and it's 10 billion clicks just to get out because you fell into the leaf pile.
Like an idiot.
So rather than quicksand, it'd be like quick leaves?
Yep, that works for me.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're getting Ithlurin versus Amaskit, but really, one thing I really have wanted for a long time in terms of a Halloween update and, you know, maybe fall in general is just a pumpkin harvest or a corn / pumpkin fall harvest kind of deal. That'd be a good way to Yeah, good way to bring awareness to the farming skill and add some of the much needed crops to the skill.
Wow, I mean it's harvesting season.
You can already get maple syrup in tree.
Quite honestly, since we now know that space exists and they're taking us to other worlds, I'd love to go visit a blue moon.
Well, I'm sure that'll happen
blue
once
moon,
in a blue moon.
You saw me standing alone. It's Frank Sinatra song.
Sure. And, you know, sure. Any kind of harvest moon. Thanks. You got harvest moons. Yeah, you're welcome. what do we need a Frank Sinatra reference in here for?
Why would you not want a Frank Sinatra reference? I think that's the question we should be asking.
Well, I think that you should be dropping your voice an octave and singing the actual song.
All right.
We'll wait.
All right. Have fun.
Okay, but yes, winter sledding, but skating rink, anyone? Yes? Or is that just something I want because I'm Canadian?
You're just a Canadian.
We kind of had
skating rinks.
We can
already do that with the imp shit quest.
Yeah, whatever that one was where we had to go in and find Yeti.
But that was, you know, you didn't have skates.
It was about imp shit, Shane.
Imps, not imp shit.
Say what?
It was about imps, not imp shit. That's
it was literally about imp shit.
Yeah, we were trying to find some very precious feces.
Oh, it really was about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yes! Like, I'm not kidding!
It was frozen feces?
It's actually about imp shit.
Wow, I don't remember that. Okay.
No problem. Yeah, what? I can't even remember what the name of that quest is, because I just don't care. It was such a silly quest.
All right, well, anything... What do you guys want for fall and winter? I don't think you guys... Well, Draz, you answered the leaf pit, but Earth?
I have no preference.
All right. Anything else on this one, then, from either of you?
Not really.
Yeah.
Happy America Day.
All right. yes. Draz, you can read the next question from Thieves.
Alrighty. Question from Thieves. I'm hoping I've missed something in the quest that you guys could help explain to me. Why was it necessary for V to return as a god? Well.
Read the rest of it, then we'll answer them in order.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my apologies. Continues on to another page. I did While Guthuk Sleeps years ago, and all I can remember of V is that he touched the stone just like lots of people have up to this point in time. In this recent quest, we get an offhand comment that he killed another god somewhere and that helped him ascend, but we don't know who or what god that was, so what was the point? We could have just returned with a longer than normal lifespan after touching the stone and been killed for being a false user, which would have had exactly the same impact on the narrative. It all feels really cheap with Jagex stating that an NPC we knew would ascend if this was it. Apologies for the long rant, but the new pointless emissary drove me to it. Yeah. I don't know. I agree wholeheartedly with that entire paragraph.
I mean... I agree.
We kind of went into that at the beginning.
He did ask this as a question, but like I agree with this question.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
But do we know why he wanted to return? Like, obviously,
just because. Just because he could, right?
He said that he wanted to come and protect his followers from the other gods.
Well, let me tell you something. He did a bang-up job with that.
He said, you know, because if you read all of his chat options, he says, you know, I had to come and protect my people from the other gods. And he has, in many instances, been shown to believe that gods are bad. Somewhere in there it said that he left because he believed that Guthix was correct to have the edicts and basically kick everyone off of the planet. So he got to actually say goodbye to his followers because
Because he was a nice guy.
He was a nice guy, and he followed the rules, and he believed that it was the correct decision. And I think the reason he came back was because Guthix died, and there's nobody there to protect his people. He did a horrible job protecting his people when he came back. But this brings up the point that we were talking about earlier, which is, okay, so he has ascended to godhood because he killed another god. He's gotten his power from other sources. He may have initially gotten his power because he was a false user, but why is he more or less of a false user than we are? And that's the whole flaw of the story, and that is basically, why was it necessary for V to return as a god? I don't know.
And I mean, if they could have answered that question, it might have alleviated some of our concerns with the quest, I think. I mean, in my mind, I'm going to rectify it the way I mentioned earlier. Our instances with the stone have been more tangential than actually, you know, directly aimed at using the stone for something.
Right.
So that's the way I rectify it in my mind, but it doesn't excuse the fact it wasn't explained in the narrative.
The initial question asked by Theus is, you know, why was it necessary for V to return as a god? And I'd like to just shorten that question and say, why was it necessary for V to return? Because there's no evidence that the Fremnic people or the Moon Clan people are suffering under the tyranny of another god, is there?
Well, of course not. They haven't put the content in yet for that.
Right. So I feel like, whoa. Okay, so you have all the other gods and they're fighting and their, you know, followers are fighting and we're approaching a new god war, really. And great, but how has that affected these people who live far away from the majority of the rest of the planet's...
Everyone.
Yeah. I mean...
All right, boss?
No, it just gets more hilarious as we keep going through it.
Because there was no reason for V to show up, and then he dies. I mean, we could have created a reason to meet the Dragonkin that would have been completely reasonable.
Have we repaired Edgeville yet?
No, you know what we could have done to meet the Dragonkin? We could have discovered it in the portraits we unlocked 2 weeks ago with the rune and adamant dragons.
Right.
There could have been a button you press on the portrait and it opens up the thing and we go
and
down.
Then a map falls out that suddenly you know where three of the pieces go already and it takes you to a place.
Right. So
where stuff happens.
The whole quest gives you a bunch of lore, and really, we talked about this, it gives you absolutely no lore, which is alarming in and of itself. It pretended to give you lore, but when you actually think about what it gave you nothing. And there was no reason for the quest to have started, and the logic that they gave you for why the quest started and happened isn't there. Like, we discussed the fact that why did we try and avenge V in the first place?
Oh, I'm going to get real mad because this guy I've never met before died.
Yeah. Right.
Oh.
Like, so... why was it necessary for V to return as a god? I don't believe that it was. It was simply the way that they helped us to get to the Dragonkin.
And whenever we cannot come up with a substantiated answer based on, you know, the RuneScape game, lore, whatever it might be, there's a problem. There's very few questions that we get on the show that we can't answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I know you were asking questions, but I agree with your questions. and that's really all I have to say.
It left me with and you know, in the recent quest, we get an offhand comment that he killed another god somewhere and that helped him ascend. But we don't know who or what god that was.
And there were mentions of some other people in there that I'd not heard of.
Well, and he went through... Exactly. We did get some additional names of gods. And part of the lore implications of this is that there are...
We get names!
There are quite a few other gods that are unnamed, that are not currently being worshipped or not known of in the realm of Gilenor. But
they're common.
They're coming.
They're coming.
I accept that premise. So that's an interesting implication from the lore perspective. But what I found interesting was when you listen to his stories, because you can sit there and talk to him, it's, there's many, 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 many lines of chat options.
Yeah, I did that actually.
Him. And you can ask him, you know, well, where have you been? What have you been doing? Who are you? What do you believe? What are you the god of? And he goes through all those different things. And part of it is he says he's been to many realms, so many realms. And part of what he has done that has differentiated him from the other, quote, gods that we have known is that he goes into an area, he fixes it, and then he leaves. And so...
He did a bang-up job here, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So... That causes me two questions. Why are you coming back to the Fremnic area in the first place?
And then just dying.
Besides the fact, well, he didn't know he was going to die. Fine, okay. I'm okay with the fact that he thought he was going to come back and not die. Because nobody just expects to die. But why did you come back in the first place if your modus operandi is to go to a place that requires help, fix it, and then go on to the next place? Because by my reckoning, it wasn't like the Fremnic people were having issues. I mean, there are a member of the Moon Clan and a member of the Fremnic Clan who are basically sitting there planning a party because this guy's coming back. And so they're obviously doing well enough that they're able to plan a party. It's not like they're in hiding because they're being hunted. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe
I don't know. I
wanted to come home.
I just thought of something that would be a good narrative in the real world for this, but I'll share that with you guys after the show.
What? Stop it.
I don't know.
I'm just going to say that if this was a weekday after this show, and I intend to do this at some point when it's daylight hours in the UK, is to send a couple of tweets at Maud Osborne and ask him this question. Why was it necessary for me to return?
Right. And, you know, maybe he'll give us a viable answer. But to me, I feel like that is at the root of the quest. The whole reason the quest started is because this guy comes back and there's no reason for him to.
Yeah, and if you can answer this question, it can help, but we can't.
Right. And then the other issue is I want to know what differentiates this false user from us.
Sure. All right, well, thank you, thieves. Sorry we weren't able to provide any clarity on that, but maybe next week. Maybe next week.
Maybe next time, Sporto.
Yeah.
So that is questions for this week. Thank you two for your questions. If you want to send us a question, email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or send an SMS message to 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632. We look forward to hearing your questions.
Hooray!
Yay!
Yay.
All right, tech news.
Yay.
So a little website by the name of Reddit is having some problems.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Man. People Reddit are angry, teaser. And they do angry things. The world is ending. No.
So a good chunk of the, you know, main subreddits, I guess you call them on Reddit, actually shut down for a period on Thursday/Friday pertaining to...
No. They didn't shut down. They just changed themselves to private, so they couldn't...
Well,
be...
I mean...
There's an important distinction, because makes it sound like the servers were shut down and everyone was banned or something like that. No,
well,
they
basically
just,
said
the mods
what I meant
of
by
them
shut down.
Just made it so that you couldn't access them. Did I send you that link to the r/hockey?
Yeah, you were the second person to do that, actually. The first person was Patrick.
Oh, he sent you that too? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But apparently it was to do with the dismissal of a Reddit employee, a community manager who organizes the AMAs or Ask Me Anythings. That's what people assume. We haven't heard entirely Reddit's side of the story on this, and it's kind of why I'm a bit hesitant to talk about it in depth. But seeing as, you know, this is a fairly major thing, I thought we might as well, you know, just have a bit of a chat about it regardless. And the thing I asked myself is, okay, why? Just because you use a website, why do you feel that you're entitled to make decisions on when an employee is let go or not?
Yeah, so, I don't even know the details of it, so...
It just sets a dangerous precedent for the website if they cave into this, and I hope they don't. And, I mean, if certain segments of the website want to move off to Vote or 4chan or whatever it might be, somewhere that's less regulated, then sure, go for it. Reddit's not keeping you there.
Right. Free world. But,
yeah, and... You know, there doesn't need to be some controls on the internet, and I think there's finally a CEO at Reddit who realizes that and is ready to tame the community just a bit. And they obviously don't like that, but that's the way the ball bounces. What's... And I should also note that Dig put up a forum today asking people to sign up for their beta. They want the users back, and why not, right?
Yeah. I think that really... The internet community, historically, I mean, the internet community is fairly new in the grand scheme of society, and it has always, it's a very fluid concept, it's very open, and it allows people who may not necessarily say or do things off of the internet to discuss, to act, to do whatever they want, but we've always maintained some semblance of self-censorship. We like, great example is Pedo Bear, where they shut things out, and so I think that, you know, good, you need to have controls, you need to have some limitations, and really, I'm kind of amazed that the users of this are that outraged.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't affect me, so I don't really care. Like, I don't even know what happened.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I was a bit leery to, you know, go full discussion on this, because we don't know what happened in full, but mainly the thing to look at this stage is the community reaction, which, you're right, why should people be that upset about it?
Yeah,
a website can do
I'm
what the website
sure
wants.
The, details.
And if you can't
we'll
handle that, then... Exactly! Exactly.
You know?
I'm perfectly happy with dig.com. It's a very good Reddit alternative, and it cuts down on the garbage.
I feel like I don't know. It's really weird to me that it's even a and I don't use Reddit that frequently, so but I, you know, it's, I don't care. But
yeah,
anytime that there is an outcry at all in the internet community, I find it to be weird, because you can have movements online. People can get behind something. The internet is a very strange animal in the modern culture.
It's not like a Walmart going into a small town and then driving all of the businesses out of business because they can offer lower prices. It's like, mm-hmm. why any sort of antitrust suit against Google for their search is stupid, because they're literally not preventing you from just going somewhere else. You can go somewhere else.
Like, exactly.
If you want to go to Bing, you can just type in bing.com in your address bar, and you're done. You're not at Google anymore. You don't have to deal with them. So,
right. part of it is
that's the
know,
difference here.
The internet is a true example of capitalism as it affects society. Because well, but if you're not happy with the way that Reddit is doing whatever you're doing, take it your quote business elsewhere. I mean, Reddit's making money. They're, you know, they have ad buy. So people are purchasing advertising spots and they're selling that. That's how they're making money to run it, and it's a business. And if you're not happy with the way that Reddit is operating itself, go somewhere else. So exactly like you said, you don't have to go to Google, and that's, I'm kind of amazed that there is any kind of outcry at all, but the reason that there's an outcry is because the people who are unhappy with whatever was decided are trying to bring other people to their side of the perspective in hopes that Reddit will revert, whatever. No, yeah, they're not going to.
It's not
going to
work.
It's not going to work. Yeah. Because their service that they provide is exactly what the majority of people like, and really nobody really needs to discuss stuff that they're going to censor anyway. So that's a different topic, though.
Yeah, and all I'm going to say on this is that, I mean, if you think you can do something better, go do it. But hopefully this is a teachable moment in internet history where we realize that the mob of the internet does not reign supreme. It is the job of the administrators and the owners of said websites on the internet, whether it be a game or an application or a news website, to make the decisions that are the best for them. And if they can't, then, well, things will flow elsewhere.
Right.
All right. That's enough of that one then. Next up, a little bit of a discussion on Windows 10. So that's coming out in under a month now. Draz, have you reserved your copy of Windows 10?
Yep.
Good. Good. So the way this will work is that if you receive the little pop-up in the lower right-hand corner of the screen and you reserve, you'll receive Windows 10 in a rollout kind of fashion, such that the insiders and the people who previewed the development builds will get it first, and then so on and so forth. They'll just keep adding people every day after the 29th. And it's going to be a very, very fluid process, and such that if there's problems with the rollout or problems with the usability of it, it's going to be changed quickly. So it's going to be a very painless update compared to past Windows updates that people might be accustomed to. And that's the thing I really wanted to highlight with this, is that Windows 10 is not going to be painful. And if you're on Windows 7, there is no reason not to get Windows 10. I think you can explain that a bit better, can't you?
Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if... Man. I don't
Say
know
what?
If our listeners...
That's Nike. That's not Microsoft.
Well, you know what? Slap a big old Nike sticker on the back of your computer, people, because you're just going to do it. All right?
Go. Yeah. And, I mean, when you think about it, this is a lot like the initial, you know, switch campaign to Firefox when IE was still running prominent and everyone was switching to Firefox as an alternate. This is similar to that in that you're doing yourself a favor, you're doing the internet community a favor, and you're going to be a lot happier with Windows 10. So definitely get this upgrade because it's free and it's been tested by a lot of people, and we can verify that it actually works somewhat reasonably right now compared
How
to previous
long do you
Windows
think
releases.
It'll be before they have to update a new system? How long do you think they'll keep? Because they're touting that Windows 10 will be the last big upgrade.
Right.
And they're just going to keep releasing small patches in the event that anything needs to be changed, which is cool. I like that idea. How long do you think it'll be until they actually go from Windows 10 to Windows 20?
They're not going to do that, just like OS 10 hasn't moved to OS 11, and it's going to, you know, just behave like when your cell phone gets an upgrade in that, you know, it's a bit bigger than, you know, conventional security updates. You need to maybe do a longer cycle reboot, but it's going to be the same thing as any other update. At least that's my thinking on it.
Why do you think they keep Windows 10 as the name then?
Well,
I would just release it as Windows.
Well, I mean, initially, or I mean, at some point down the road, that'll happen. It'll just be called Windows. But right now, it needs to be called Windows 10 just to differentiate between the ones that are currently out there.
Right.
So. But yeah, July 29th is the day. So if you haven't reserved your copy of Windows, definitely do it. Just do it.
Yay!
I wonder if that's a trademark infringement using that. But anyways, what? just do it.
Well, sorry, Nike.
All right, and final piece of tech news comes from, well, Mark Zuckerberg, who says the future of Facebook is, ready for this, telepathy.
We're going to be able to read each other's minds.
So yeah, he basically wants you to think about something and share it with your friends.
Spoopy.
Isn't that Twitter?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, Twitter is, you know, just more of a stream of consciousness compared to Facebook is, but it doesn't go into your mind or anything like that.
You know what scares me about this? I really don't want to realize how much dumber some of my friends are. Or, even worse, how much smarter.
Yeah, and I mean, we're going to get there slowly through, you know, wearable computers, maybe augmented reality somewhere down the road, but obviously he has a long-term vision for this.
Yeah, it's silliness and shenanigans.
Yep, and I mean, once people realize what's happening with their information on Facebook, I think a lot of them would, you know, have second thoughts about using it the way they do.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. When they realize they're the product and not vice versa.
Yeah.
All right. So that's enough. That's enough. I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for? It's enough.
Okay.
Enough
that?
Weird stuff for the week. It's enough weird stuff for the week.
I know, right?
So, skill of the month update. Magic skill of the month for July. Tim. Currently in first place, 557,000 XP gained. Second place is Flash with 377,000 XP gained.
Oh, I should log out so, like, I get experience on here.
Yeah, you got an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Steam, for some reason it doesn't like updating my high scores, obviously.
Yeah, you gotta keep
running
in
with that. So,
anyways, at this point, I'll say that for the June skill of the month, actually, there was an upset, and Flash won with 20 million XP gained.
Oh my god!
Get out of town.
Second,
he got 5 million experience in one day.
Yep.
What? Wow, that's impressive.
So this is a very big thing for us because Tim has won every Skill of the Month competition in 2015 so far.
Guys, so, he's not invincible. He's not invincible. You can,
like,
you can kill him.
A god showed up and then the Dragon King showed up and killed him.
All right, that's enough out of you.
I just want to say one thing. I was thinking the exact same thing when you said invincible.
So I wonder if he's a
false Shane
user.
Almost made a joke. So I think we best be wrapping this show up, boys.
Well, why don't you tell the dear listeners then about the Informer Roundup?
Didn't you write this one?
I did.
Then why don't you tell them about it?
Well, I've just been talking about Tim and Flash and invincibility.
Talk
but,
about your damn roundup.
Well, it's called Apocalypse Inverted and can be averted, not inverted.
Inverted. Inverted meat, right?
Can like be found at informer.rsbnb.com. A whole bunch of great Informer articles this month, including mine that says The Best of Trek Part 2, covering the original series Voyager and Enterprise. Also got an article from
the series.
Well, I had to find 5 good episodes from it.
you had to.
What? Yep. Deep Space Nine came out before Voyager, did it not?
But I already did Next Generation and Deep Space Nine back in December. It would have been a 3,500 word article if I had combined them into one.
I would have enjoyed all 3,500 words.
I know, I did too, but
flattery will get you everywhere, Boone.
But my editor told me that you should split it into two.
I see.
Yes.
Your editor. Right. Who's your editor? Let me tell them that they've robbed me.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can take his previous Best of Trek article, paste it into a Word document, then take this one, and then paste it in the Word document below where you pasted the previous one. And there you go.
Can you explain those directions for me again slower? Because I don't know that I'm able to do it as quickly as you said.
Well, you might need to get your head checked out. Because that was not difficult.
Anyways, we got other articles also featuring Game of Thrones, working in the food industry, Apocalypse Now, apocalyptic conspiracies, and a review of what the world event should have provided rather than what it did actually provide, and a revisit to Rune Labs from Tanis, who is actually a little bit impressed with what has been provided. Anyways, all that and more good stuff at informer.rsbnb.com.
Awesome.
Alrighty, achievement of the week. We have Eon with 120 Dungeoneering on July 2nd. Congratulations. That's a big one.
Congratulations. Yeah, we should add another achievement of the week, and there's just beating Tim, right?
Right?
Mm-hmm. So we should give him a double shot. Well, who was it? Flash again? Did I get that right?
Yeah, Flash.
Yay. Achievement of the week number two, Flash, for beating Tim. Yay. So excited.
Woo! All right. Pick of the week.
You have one, right?
I do. So they wanted me to come up with some kind of something to discuss, and I have this device which is called...
Some kind of something.
Yeah, it's called Hootoo, H-O-O-T-O-O. It is a mobile router. It's like a portable router. It also works as a Wi-Fi bridge, and it's, you know, a power pack. It serves as... does all kinds of stuff. It's a network storage device, so I can store things on it. My problem is that I work in the airline industry, and I travel quite a bit. I'm in hotels on average 4 to 5 days a week. And what I originally got it for was I had Chromecast, which I used to connect my phone or laptop to the television in the hotel. But if the hotel Wi-Fi requires you to access a browser page in order to put in some kind of access key or anything like that, you can't connect to a Chromecast because Chromecast doesn't have a browser on it. So I needed this because I could use it as a bridge and then connect the Chromecast to it directly. And it is just an incredibly awesome piece of small technology. It allows me to connect into any wireless Wi-Fi or direct wired internet connection and then connect my phone, pad, laptop, Xbox, and thousands of other devices that I carry with me on a daily basis all onto my own set Wi-Fi network.
Yeah. All right. Very good. I guess the question I'll ask now is, have you used any other products, and what's the reason you actually chose the Hootoo over something else?
Well, it was like $30 online, $35, I think. So it was more price point on it. And I had gotten the recommendation from some other people, including my brother, Raracross. Shout out to him. He's also in Clan Quest. But it's small, which it sounds like that wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I had another one that was about the size of a 12-ounce can of soda. And that's just not very mobile. And this one is really much smaller. It's about a third the size. So, for carrying
the size
space,
of a bar of soap.
Yeah, about a bar of soap. So it definitely, it's a little bit more, I'm going to say, mobile. And I think that technology, that's a very, especially when it's an auxiliary piece like this, it's not something that I'm like looking at or using. And so me keeping storage space for it is not necessarily a premium, which means I needed it to be small. So that's price point and size.
Woo. All right. And you can find that on Amazon. Link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. All right. What have we been up to this week, dare I ask? Let's start with one of you. You guys decide who's going first.
Draws, you go first. Best.
Good Lord. All right. Well, I flew around for the beginning of the week, and I was in 7 different states this week. Next week, I have
an
interview.
Which 7?
North Carolina,
important information.
South Carolina, Alabama, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and Georgia.
Woo!
Yeah.
Right.
Man, whatever. I think that's seven. Did I miss any?
I wasn't keeping count.
That's cool.
Nor was I.
Yeah, who cares? But, I work for U.S. Airways, but I have an interview with Delta next week, and I'm having LASIK surgery, and I'm having dental surgery, so I've got a really busy 2-week period right now.
Make sure you do some clue scrolls before both of those.
Shane got third age something.
Oh.
Yeah, plate legs. Yeah.
So now he tells everyone, you need to go do a clue scroll before you do before you get major surgery or something. Right?
I believe it. Well, yep. And this is also the week where Clue Scrolls High Scores is out.
Oh boy.
We talked about that earlier, so that would coincide with that. Yay.
Stars are just lining up for you. Okay. Anything RS related?
I am currently working on completing the Damenheim task set and the I don't even know how to say that. Tyrannwyn, the elf
Tyrannic
place. Thank you. Which, by the way, why are the rewards for that not as awesome as the amount of work necessary to get it?
And that's precisely why I have not started that task set yet.
I just feel like the rewards after tier one are completely useless. Man, I don't know. There really is a completely useless thing after you get tier one. But, I have all the easy and I've got all the medium except for I've got to get some papaya done. But yeah, I've just been leveling my mining and smithing and trying to get all of my auxiliary skills to 97.
All right, sounds good. You Earth.
Ooh, what the hell have I been doing? Work.
You work for the CIA?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did the quest. Preparing for festivities tomorrow.
Festivities? What kind of festivities are these?
Are you going to play with fireworks?
It's the 4th of July, Shane.
Oh,
celebrating
right.
Freedom.
Yeah. Rebellion Day.
Yeah, yeah. Stick a pine cone up your ass.
Just because you got the queen. Just because you got the queen on your money doesn't mean that we rebelled against you now.
All right, anything else?
You know, earlier...
You're asking you remember, for that.
Earth, you remember earlier how I said it was basically just a state? The reason it's not a state is because it's got more cows than people.
I thought it was moose.
It's got more... No, I don't. Statistically, it does have more cow than people.
Really? Yeah.
Fun fact about
ranching is a very popular industry here.
See, he doesn't deny
out
it.
Out west.
Weird ass Canadians. All right.
Let me get this straight. You guys don't do anything for the 4th of July at all? I don't know why you would, but that's not even a recognized day.
No, of course
banking
not.
Banking holiday?
That should be the most celebrated day because you guys don't have to put up with Texas's shit. So.
They don't have a banking holiday or anything, though? I guess it's a Saturday,
no.
So it wouldn't affect you
and
guys.
The reason is because ours is actually on July 1st.
Yeah.
Well, our celebration day is 3 days before yours, so we're clearly better, right?
You know what it is they're pre-gaming.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We're the pre-game for Independence Day.
Yeah, they're getting it set up for... Okay, I accept that.
Anything else you want to share? Earth.
No, Shane.
Okay.
Don't.
Well, as for me this week on RS, you know, did the quest. That was quite the experience looking back on it. But I have achieved level 78 million farming XP. So really closing in on the 120.
Matters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
How much takes dedication? I do, well, on a good day, probably around 250K.
Because I got 224,000 and I was... Man, you rocking it out.
Yeah, and I mean, it depends on how much fundraising I can do. Like, am I in the mood to go fight the Queen Black Dragon? If I can fight the Queen Black Dragon for 2 hours, I can fund magics and palms. If I can, you know, if I could time my farming runs and do 8 of them a day, I could also fund magics and palms. So it's just a question of how much fundraising I do for it. Definitely aiming to have that done inside the rest of the year, that's for sure. But yeah, it's my number one objective on RS currently. No, I'm not getting it tomorrow. Unless there's some bug and I get that 30-odd million XP or how much it is. But aside from that, yes, Canada Day was on Wednesday, so we took part in that. We don't do as much as you guys do in the U.S., but, you know, flag flying, fireworks, that kind of thing.
So you do explode things. That's all that matters.
Yes, we do. We do.
That's... Yay. See, so we can support that, because they blew things up, right, Earth?
Woo! Explosions. Yep. 18-12 overture. Yeah.
And it's not as though Independence Day is a foreign concept to us, because we do... Well, most of us do understand what the Declaration of Independence is. And
did you just say declaration? You just said Declaration of Independency. I heard Declaration of Independence.
It's past his bedtime. Don't give him a hard time.
I said Declaration
you woke up
of
like
Independence.
2 hours ago.
I did not say Independency. But
I heard that. Did you hear that?
I didn't. I'm taking his side.
Anyways, he's
always nice take his side.
He's been nice to me the entire time I've been on this show. I can't be mean to him now at the end, even if he is from Canada.
All right. Well, with that being said, thank you, everybody, for listening to RSBNB Update. Bit of a longer show this week, but hopefully it has been enjoying to you.
Enjoyable.
There you go.
Happy.
Yeah.
Thanks guys for inviting me on. I appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you for coming, Draz, and always be welcome in the future.
Yay.
Wait, always?
All right, and well, yeah.
You might not want to...
Yeah, don't say that. Because I'll
yeah, don't say that. He'll be back.
I'll just... Every week, you'll be like, who's this guy here? And you won't be able to get rid of me.
Well, we do have controls in place for that. But anyways, everyone, thank you for listening and sharing your time with us. Earth and I will be back next week. And once again, thank you, Draz, for appearing on RSBNB Update.
Take care.
Woo!